Everybody, science us time.
Science us time is now.
That is our new theme song.
The theme song refers to itself.
Yep. In the past tense.
Oh, no.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, boys and girls.
To another episode of Science Us.
The podcast where we don't know nothing about no science.
Yeah. This podcast starts off with some science and then later on gets hilarious. The format we're going to change today, that's today's episode, is a special one for that reason.
What's going down?
So instead, like normally when we do an episode, I will science you or you will science me.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about
a fact. You being noted comedian Ivan Decker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm Ivan Decker.
And me being a guy around town, Peter Carlo.
Ah, noted sketch comedian and writer.
I prefer guy around town.
Man about town.
Man about the town.
Peter Carlo.
Yeah, normally, if you guys are... Listen, guys, if you're just tuning in for the first time to this...
If you're just tuning in.
We normally do a topic.
Maybe you're at a drive-in movie and you're trying to set the AM radio.
And you just keep landing on Science Us.
Yeah, and this is going... Like, this is not... Kurt Badgewell? Is that an old film star?
Who the hell is Kurt Badgewell?
Sounds like somebody who'd have like a series of detective films.
Yeah, that's true. But would they do those in drive-ins?
Hello, I'm Kurt Badgewell.
Like Jurassic Park reruns.
In drive-ins? I think that was all just like for making out. That was like the whole... Anything I know about
parking.
40s movies.
You go to a drive-in and you park.
Park your car.
Which means making out.
You get busy in the back seat. Because back seats were much more roomy back then. And people were smaller.
Hey,
it was like a combination. Like, that's why, like, if you go to, like, old apartment buildings, the shower head is always, like, very, very low.
Because everybody there wasn't good food.
People were very small.
You can't grow tall
big.
People.
There was a lot more humping.
You can't
cars.
Grow tall people with pre-war food.
No, you cannot.
Or post-war food, I guess. Like, 50s.
A lot of lead everywhere, keeping everybody tiny.
Wait, are we Romans? What are we talking about right now?
Yeah, there's lead everywhere. It was in gasoline. It's all over the cities.
That's true.
Still, to this day, there's
what, really?
Many studies that have been
done about lead.
About lead in the air and how it's messing us up.
Still, though?
But that's not what this episode is about.
It's much less lead. Okay, yeah. The thing you started trying to say is that you're doing something different than just picking one single topic of science and telling me about it.
Yeah, so I was inspired by like the internet and how nobody wants to read anything unless it's a listicle.
Oh.
Meaning a listicles. List article. So this episode is called...
Or link bait, like clickbait.
Yeah, but listicles are the most effective form of clickbait.
Yeah, because it'll be like, this list of 15 things will blow your mind. And you're like, well, I want my mind blown, and yeah. I want to know what all 15 things are.
No, it'll tell you, like, number 13 is the greatest. And
oh,
then when
yeah.
you click on the article, each page is one. So you have to keep going to new pages so that it reloads, and it can
yeah.
load a new set of ads.
And the arrow, next to the going to the next page thing is also frightfully close to an ad.
Yeah.
Like, better not click
like
on that.
An ad called, go to next page.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this? Okay, episode today is, I'm a big fan of animals and animal
yeah.
science, and so I decided to put together because a lot of these interesting animal facts are not deep enough to warrant an entire episode devoted to them. So I just put together a list of 8 fun facts about fun animals.
Fun.
So this episode is called Ivan's Fun List of Fun Animal Fun Facts for Fun Dudes Having Fun Times.
You should see Peter's reaction on number 6 !!
Listen to the whole episode, because number 9, I literally cried and my brain fell out.
Literally. And both things were
Peter
literal.
Peter was there, and there's a video of him doing that, so stick around.
We'll have the video up on the website.
Till the end of the...
Do we have a website?
No, you constantly refer to this in episodes. I have edited numerous episodes where you're like, we'll put it on the website. And I'm like, Peter, we do not have a website. Stop saying that.
We
have a Twitter account. Why do we need a website? We don't need...
So I can throw stuff up on it.
Like, we have a website, which is scienceus.podomatic.com, which is where the episodes are hosted.
Nice.
But that's for the episodes. We're not posting photos of weird cats and
we
things
can get,
like that.
But here, let's hear me out. Hear me out. If we had a website, we could post photos of stuff like weird cats.
We can do that on Twitter.
That's true. You guys at home, if you're just tuning in, Ivan literally has written out pieces of paper.
Yeah, listen to these. These animals. Listen to these papers. So, here we go. This is Ivan's top eight top fun top facts about fun animals.
Number six made Peter cry.
Number six made Peter cry.
Here we go.
All right.
That's the subheading.
So, the first fact, I'm just going to pick these at random. So, this is an interesting one, an article that I read about birds and how they fly in a V.
Okay.
This is like a thing that people have looked at. I'm sure many of the listeners have looked up in the sky and been like, oh, why do they fly in that V? Is it because that's how they can tell where they're going? Or what's going on with that V? And it was recently discovered that the V is that way because of the air currents. They actually are drafting each other.
Nice.
So like the way that they flap their wings, they actually flap in sync that the updraft caused behind the head bird spreads out in like a V shape, and the birds behind will get...
So they get a rest.
Yeah.
It's like easier to fly
back
there.
It's easier to fly, exactly. That's why they do it. So it's the same way as like stock car racing when they drive like right behind the car to like draft it so it breaks the wind for them, and then they will slingshot ahead. That's how they pass
each other.
It's
so interesting because we don't know how, like, we always underestimate the role of wind currents in things. But as soon as you get to a certain speed, now that's all you're thinking about is like, well, it's like cars and aerodynamics and airplanes. It's like, I don't care about air currents in my everyday.
No, because we're not moving fast.
No.
We're not flying. You could assume that birds probably know a little bit more about air currents.
Or do they sort of just instinctively know about flying?
Yeah, it's probably like the way we know about how to swim. Like,
right.
Like how babies, like if you drop a baby in the water, they'll...
Because I thought at first you meant like we just don't know anything about water and we just sort of intuitively understand it.
Yeah, we don't know what it is.
But babies, because that's what they say is like when you're a baby's born, you have to try to drown it. And then if it swims, you keep it, right?
Yep.
I believe that is the legal treatment of infants.
Yeah. Welcome to Sparta. Kicking it
Sparta
in a hole.
Sparta the podcast.
If it's not good. But that's sort of the reason behind birds. And there's a lot of things that birds do that's really cool. Like when eagles are circling, when people see eagles, eagles and hawks, those birds of prey, sometimes you'll see them circling and people are like, well, why are they doing that? And it's because they have found a column of hot air called a thermal, and they actually ride that up.
Oh.
So when they're circling, it's so that they don't have to expend any energy, but they can rise up and look for prey from up there.
So it's not like a forgetting stuff. Like they're not OCD and they're like, I forgot my keys. And they're like, let's just get out of here. No, I think I should go. Because that's why I circle.
But it's also why, like, you can notice that they're circling, but they don't seem to be falling, and they don't seem to be flapping their wings really hard to climb. They're just kind of
resting,
hanging out up there because they found a column of warm air that's rising them up.
Now, the flying V,
yes,
I believe, was researched a long time ago. Maybe not the air current stuff, but it did result in a very successful hockey maneuver, did it not?
Yep, by the Mighty Ducks.
I believe that the flying V was first used. Implemented in sports strategy.
Well, that's also, I mean, they've done studies
on the Mighty Ducks
involving shooting birds and that sort of thing. Like if the head bird is taken out at like the top of the V, they will fill in the V because that's where it all starts. That's
just
where
keep flying,
air
man.
Current buffering comes from.
So wait, are we allowed to, as hunters, you see a flying V and you're just allowed to like mess up their lives? Like just take out the leader?
That's what duck hunters do.
Well, I thought you were supposed to find, like, tired ones. Or ones that were in, like, a bad part of the sky.
Yeah.
You're like, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, duck.
Yeah, this whole V. I don't know. I don't watch Duck Dynasty.
There's a party that's like, should we shoot birds that are in a flock? Because it's like, that's like breaking into a living room and shooting people eating dinner. They're doing their thing.
That's all hunting is.
Yeah, that's true.
It's what wolves do. Like a whole pack of...
Right.
Elk are just hanging out, and then they're like, go! And then the elk
go now.
All freak out, and they're like, right. Oh my god, wait, let's go! We gotta get out of here! And then, you know, somebody gets separated.
I guess I'm...
Grandma's old!
Grandma's old, leave her!
Leave her behind! And then the wolves eat that one. Or like the young. The young and
the little baby ones.
The young and the sick and the weak.
Evolution.
Natural selection.
That's what we're talking about. If you're just tuning in... Alright. Okay, great. That one's awesome. They draft...
Yeah, it's all for drafting. It's because of the air currents, guys. If you didn't know that, there you go.
My reaction to that one is, whoa.
Cool.
There, that's my reaction.
It's going to be every reaction.
No, not number six.
Okay, yeah, number six has to make you cry.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to try, actually.
Number two, interesting fact.
Here we go.
This is about penguins and how apparently they have studied that the emperor penguins are going to be okay.
And just in general, like financially?
Like from climate change. Like oh, everybody's okay. Always like, oh no, the ice though. What about the penguins? The sea ice. They need it. They need the ice. Oh no. But scientists conducted a study. The British Antarctic Survey Company was hanging out down there watching penguins in periods of warmer weather where there's less sea ice.
Right.
And what do you know? They just went on the rocks. They would just find rocks to hang out on and give birth. It was not, they're not the dumbest. They're not going to be like, we have no ice. I guess we'll just drown.
I guess we'll just float around looking for that cold thing we used to live on.
So it's a little tougher for them because it's harder for them to climb the rocks. Obviously, right. Climate change is a bad thing. But it's not as much of a killer as we thought. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, they're totally screwed without that sea ice. Polar bears are screwed.
Yeah.
Without the sea ice.
Well, because they use it for, like, getting around.
Yeah, it's like a raft. They need to sit on it and wait for a seal
right.
to come by.
But maybe seals' patterns will change as well. And they'll... like a second away from making a joke about the musician. And then it was like half-formed. And then I was like, Peter, come on. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, let's leave Heidi Klum out of this.
She's also going extinct. I think that the polar bears and the seals will just like kajigger their
seals,
layout. Like the seals have to go somewhere.
Up. Yeah, they gotta come up somewhere. Polar bears just gotta find out where the seals are going.
Yeah, we just gotta figure ourselves out.
Get up in that. And basically, what this study has revealed is that animals are smart and they're figuring it out. So
Same with us. And that's one of the worst things about climate change. Like it's the hardest PR thing it has to overcome.
Yeah,
is that climate change. Like they're saying, in 50 years, the water level is going to be such and such higher.
Yeah.
You know, a varying, like some people are like 1 meter and other people are like 400 meters.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine. But it's not going to happen in 50 years. It's going to happen very slowly.
Yeah.
You know, up until that 50 year point where we reach another balance. But like the main problem with that is, you know, buildings that we build last 20 years. So we'll build them further back. Like we'll just gradually recede as the waters encroach
totally.
On our land.
We'll adapt. It's not going to be like Waterworld where it's just like all of a sudden, the polar ice caps melted.
Yeah, it's all over.
Cities are gone.
Yeah.
Like, are you telling me nobody got a boat? Like, what? They don't explain that in Waterworld of like, there's no, you couldn't have just built a big ship.
Where are all the millions and millions of boats
that
exist now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, how much, like, Waterworld, that's a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we...
There were
are
no
you telling
like
me there's
nice
no...
yachts. Why were there no nice yachts?
Why were there no nice yachts? And why were there
like
no like mountains?
Things all crappy looking. Well,
like
there
even
mountains at the
there
end.
There were mountains.
Dry
just...
land.
Right.
That was what dry land.
You know
was.
What? Damn it. I forgot about the movie.
Forgot about the
I kind of thought
of
it
movie.
Was a water ball
yeah.
situation.
No,
or that's what they thought it was.
The whole they thought it was, but the whole point of the movie is like, we got to find dry land.
Right.
And that's why like dirt is a currency.
Right.
I don't know why. Because there's that guy that talks weird and he like puts the dirt in his mouth. He's like,
currency.
Pure dirt. It's pure dirt. And then he just like buys everything with this dirt, and everybody's like, "Oh boy, he's got some dirt."
I guess because you can grow stuff in it. You can grow stuff in the water, though.
Yeah, I don't seaweed. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sushi.
The penguins will be fine.
Okay, great. Next thing.
Fact
number three. I'm getting close.
So I've got a couple in a row.
Wait. My reaction to that one.
Yeah. What is it?
Emperor penguins are going to be okay.
There you go.
All right.
Peter,
number three.
A sigh of relief. Number three is we're gonna stay on. I guess we'll stay with mammals for a little bit.
Stay on
mammalian,
target.
Mammalian facts. Read a couple of things about lab rat studies. So first study I found was pretty interesting is that mice do not like men. Apparently,
what?
Mice around male members of our species, humans, they get more scared. They don't like it. They are much less calm. They get stressed out. They get terrified of men.
Is it because, unfortunately, there's a greater percentage of male scientists?
Nope. And,
okay.
Nope. It's much more simple than that.
I was just thinking because we're the ones always poking at them.
Yeah. Nope. It's not because it's the same with there's female scientists doing stuff too.
Right.
It is actually because of the pheromones
that
males
that makes
produce.
A lot of sense.
So mammals like
mice that have been prey for a very long time have been conditioned to understand that the males of most other mammalian species are more aggressive. And so when that pheromone comes close to them, they get more upset.
Not to mention the fact that we're like hundreds of mice tall, which yeah. I believe is how they measure height in mice land.
Yep. They're like, oh man, that guy's a lot of mice tall. But the other thing that's interesting about this article that I found was that the, because I was like, oh, but it's mice. How do they sense human pheromones?
Right.
All mammals have the same pheromone.
Does that mean we get turned on around like female dogs and stuff?
The same chemo signals come from everybody.
Right,
so it's
but
the same
that's what
thing.
I'm saying. So we see like a little like a lady dog, and then maybe there's like a little tiny thing in the back of our heads. It's like nice.
There are some people.
Oh, you're right. I forgot.
Yeah,
people do that stuff.
Yeah, it does happen.
There we go.
And the other way around.
Yeah, that's true. Although that seems like it's like weirdly not sexual.
No,
when the dog is just like humping away at your leg.
Who are all these people?
Okay, my reaction to this one is.
Yeah, there you go. So we're gonna stay on. This is number four or 3B. It's sort of similar. So this is a study done by the University of Utah. Apparently, in a breeding environment, the mice whose mothers were more promiscuous produce sexier sons. Wait, the mice whose mothers were more promiscuous were sexier. The males.
Right.
So it's this weird thing where like they studied mice in monogamous situations where like it's one breeding pair and they have kids and like those kids, how do they breed?
They're like the nerdy ones
and they're
a little bit fat.
Yeah, they're like not as good as the ones whose moms had to like get out on the town and like search for a mate, you know, find one.
One would assume it's because she was picking like the sexiest looking ones.
Yes, but also it produced this, yeah, the sons had, they produced more pheromones to attract mates better than the ones from the Nagas pair. But the issue with that was like producing the pheromones requires a lot of energy, so those mice would die faster. So they'd be like sexy, but they would flame out.
I hope that's
at
true.
At a much younger age.
I'm going to live forever.
But also,
Well, is that true though? If it's true, if that's true of some mammals?
It could be, yeah, because it's also the same of like, you know, people who come from, like the dads would, the dads being around would make the sons less sexy. But also the opposite situation is true for the males. So if the male was more promiscuous.
Then he has ugly little babies.
The sons would be less good. So it's got to be like hot mom, dumb dad makes hot guy.
So my kids are going to live for a long time.
Yep, that's what this study means.
Because they'll be ugly.
This study means that...
Because I have a little promiscuous mouse.
Yeah, but you have to like you'd have to breed with a girl who's like very promiscuous. Then you'd have like sexy sons.
And then it'll negate it. All I got to find is a real slutty gal.
All right, let's clean it up a little bit.
Here's the thing, though. Here's why I bet it doesn't work in human populations. Because our extremely sexy people are... you know, made sexy by the fact that they're rich or become rich because they're sexy. So like hyper sexy people are like your Brad Pitts and stuff like that, who we want to look at a lot. So we pay them lots of money.
Yeah.
So they can live a long time because their living conditions are much better than us
poor, ugly people.
The
living thing is not so much, but it's more of the attraction of mates that I found interesting about this was that it was all about the mothers being more. Because, you know, most people would think like, yeah, because his dad, strong seed, produces strong sons. It like goes back to the medieval times
of
like the kings being mad that like, why won't you bear me sons? And it's like, because you suck.
Yes, it might be you.
Your sperm is the worst.
I drink all day from lead cups. Why won't you make me sons?
Why can't I have babies? Because you've ruined your balls, king. That happens a lot. That was like a many cases of that and how they don't want to tell the king that like, it's you. You're the problem. Because like, 8 women in a row won't get pregnant from me. Kill them all.
Figure out
like
what's wrong.
Who is the king that invented divorce?
That is Henry VIII.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he invented it, but he made it doable.
He made it like church, put it in the church thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was forbidden to divorce, but divorce is like written into the Bible. Like there are cases of divorce.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
Biblical divorce court.
Biblical. Don't do it.
I want half of your horse.
Well, and then if it was biblical divorce court, the divorce judge would be like, all right, we're going to cut the horse in half. Wham.
No,
that is a Bible
joke.
To.
You are the true owner of the horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Judge Solomon.
That's right. But divorce court, that is actually how it works.
Yeah.
An actual divorce court. Don't they actually split everything down the middle?
Yep.
Sometimes?
Including the kids.
Unless there's a
cut them in half. You get half the kids. Call Kung Lao. There's a Mortal Kombat reference.
I didn't know that part. I wonder if, like, sometimes if that was true, then people would get divorced as soon as they were pissed off at their kids. Like, yeah, just cut them in half. Let's get divorced. We can get rid of these kids.
Gross.
It was your fault.
This got pretty off track.
Yes, it did.
So, yeah, Henry VIII, I thought that was the thing. It's like he was impotent. And that's why.
I haven't looked into that, but I do. That makes a lot of sense. Like, he went through a lot of wives.
That's why he was like, I can't have sons. It's obviously women's fault.
Yeah, and I think it would have been that.
Like,
you know,
everybody's just too scared to tell him?
Yeah,
like,
well, that mixed with the fact that, like, I mean, I assume, I have a base level of assumption on all kings as being entitled pricks. Like, I just feel like he was an entitled prick. And he was just
what?
Like, he wanted
no.
what? He, what? No.
A king?
A white British king?
Never entitled.
It just sounded like, the history I've read just makes him sound like a prick. Like it was just
real, like a real Joffrey.
Yeah, he wanted what
like
he
a real
wanted.
Joffrey Baratheon.
He wanted what he wanted and he got it. And he killed you if you didn't get what he wanted. It's like, yeah, you're a prick.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, my reaction to 3B is Henry VIII was a prick.
Okay, number four.
All right, here we go.
All right, here's another one that's fun. This is a mammal fact about dogs. Are you a dog owner, Peter?
My family is a dog owner.
You have a family dog?
I'm a proxy dog owner.
Okay, so did you ever take that dog for a walk?
I do. I love taking Vickers for a walk.
Vickers is your dog.
That's literally family the dog. Dog's name.
So cute. Now, sometimes when you're walking a dog, you want it to go to the bathroom, right? So you can go home, because that's the point of the walk.
I often do.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So, scientists in the Czech Republic.
Can we stop for a second? I'm getting pretty stoked about this, because I feel like it's going to have a really practical use in my dog walking. Like,
well,
I'm excited about this fact that's about to happen.
It's solving a question.
Ooh.
Because dogs, you can never really know why the dog will
pee at the spot that it pees in.
No, pooing. This is number two.
Oh, we're talking poo.
Yeah. So
here we go.
It's always like anybody who owns a dog and has watched it take a dump, you'll notice that it will like stop and then it'll be like right here. Nah. And then it'll like move back. It always like it has to find like a very specific spot.
Yeah.
And it seems so weird.
It does.
Well, why it picks those spots. And it was always thought that it had to do with like, oh, scents. Like another dog has gone here or no other dogs have gone here.
Territory
stuff. So that's
stuff.
Why. Territorial, but that's mostly urinary. The defecation thing, they found that it is actually influenced by the magnetic field of the Earth.
No, it's not.
It is.
Really?
So they studied like over 1,600 dogs. Over 1,600 different defecations. It was 70 dogs. But they watched them over a period of 2 years and realized that in periods of like high magnetic field turmoil, where it was more chaos in the magnetic field, the dogs would not go to the bathroom. They always found a spot that was aligned with the north and south axis of the magnetic poles and would always dump in an area of calm magnetic field.
That I have no idea what that means or how that works.
Well, okay, that's
I know what it means, but I don't know what it means for like why dogs would do that.
Yeah, it's pretty insane, but it's also such an interesting thing because it's one of the first documented cases of magnetic field disruption actually having an effect on the behavior of an animal.
Right.
Or of mammals, which is, they were always just kind of disregarded, like, oh yeah, it's fine, just put up these power lines, whatever, blah, 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 blah. It's totally cool, just whatever. But now understanding that these magnetic fields are affecting very minimally, just kind of like where dogs take a dump, not really a big problem.
Yeah,
in society.
Well, I mean, it's interesting though.
But it is affecting what they do and the behavior. So it does sort of indicate that there is some sort of consequence.
Interestingly enough, the house in Calgary that I live in,
mm-hmm.
There's power lines nearby, a couple blocks away. There's a junction station.
Yeah.
And I always poop in the kitchen. just in the sink and on the floor sometimes.
Right in there, yeah.
And it's because I think the bathroom is just too magnetic.
Yeah, it's too much magnetic field disturbance.
And then you got the fridge magnets in the kitchen, so it kind of negates it a bit. So I just take a quick poop.
Yeah, right in there.
Yeah.
Great.
And then my parents are like, how long are you visiting for?
Yeah. Can you leave?
Okay. All right, my reaction for fact number four.
That was number five.
That was five?
Yeah.
You said it was four.
Well,
because you had 3A and 3B.
I counted those as two different ones.
Oh, boy.
So they're related, but they're different facts.
I just got nervous because you know what one is next.
Yeah, number six.
Number six. Okay, my reaction for number 5/4 is...
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, yeah. So this one...
here we go.
This one's about geckos.
Number six.
Number six is about geckos. And did you know that even after they die, they can still stick to surfaces, like their hands, the sticky parts... It has nothing to do with any sort of muscular tension. They don't have to actually hold on. They just put their hand on, and then they can rest. So even if they die, they can still stick to the wall.
Now, I'm getting pretty close to crying here. Because if you think about it, it's an evolutionary advantage. Because let's say you die, you pass out, you're a busy mother, and you pass out. You die on a tree, but you got all your babies on your back. If you die and let go, those poor babies don't have a shot. But since you've died, and your stickiness will pass on into the afterlife, your babies remain safely up on the tree.
I'm sorry, did you think I said possums? I said geckos.
I was just shooting.
Spiders?
I was just shooting from the hip.
Some spiders have babies on their back. I don't think there's any documented cases of geckos carrying their babies on their back, because the babies are pretty big,
and
pretty
like,
quickly.
Like a good creationist, I say... It's not up to me to prove me right. You've got to prove me wrong.
Yeah, okay. You're wrong.
Ah, damn it. What I mean is you got to find every single gecko and prove that they've never had their babies
never
on their
had
back.
Them on their
not
back
even once.
Carrying them up a tree?
Yeah, and then dying.
But the hands are sticky right away. That's kind of the idea, right?
There That's is so no, cool.
You don't have to learn that it's... Yeah, so it's actually inspired. Like they're going to try to make like Spider-Man-style gloves using the gecko technology.
So not needing... any muscular tension or whatever.
Yeah.
Or air, like suction.
Yeah.
Like
so they would just basically, ones. It's the way that the bones like spread out and become super flat and it can stick onto surfaces.
Cool.
And which is why like, they don't really like to climb the glass. I mean, glass is still pretty slick for a gecko. Like obviously a tree.
Right.
Pretty easy to climb.
You toss some Vaseline on there too and then you got a real problem.
Oh man, if you want to see, this is a tangent, but it is adorable. Go on YouTube and look up videos of squirrels trying to climb greased poles. Because a lot of people have like a birdhouse or a bird feeder, and squirrels always climb the pole that the bird feeder is on and like eat the food out of there. And people get mad about that. I don't know why, because like you've got a feeder. Just let whatever you want eat
let
from it.
Let animals feed off it.
Why are you like, oh, goddamn squirrels, it's for birds. What are you, friends with the birds and you don't like squirrels?
I think it's because they want to see like a specific bird. They want to see like birds hanging out.
I guess. Anyway, so what they do is they'll put, Vaseline all over the pole, and the squirrels will try to climb up it, and they slide down like tiny firemen. It's adorable. They, like, slide down the pole.
It's so interesting that, like, I'm sure you came across it because it was, it was sent to you, or you saw it in some sort of stumbled upon thing.
Yeah.
However, what if it was actually you searching for stuff, and you were searching for, like, sexy pole dancing, and accidentally typed squirrel pole dancing, and then you found this nugget of a movie?
Yep, that's what happened. I always search for pole dancing on the internet because I don't want to go full bore with the pornography that I'm able to find. What's the tamest thing?
What about a tame video? What about a spirited pole dance?
Yes.
Why, this isn't a pole dance. This is a greased pole with a squirrel. Maybe I'll give it a watch. Why, this is hilarious.
Oh, I'm going to relay this on a podcast.
Well, there you go. My reaction for number six, as predicted, I did cry and then said a bunch of things that were wrong.
Yep, incorrect crying. this is another fun one that I learned is that electric eels...
We're number seven now?
Yep.
Here we go.
Electric eels are... they remote control their prey using the electrical impulses. Because everybody always thought that the electrical impulses of the eel was like... Straight up, like, shock it, kill it, now you can eat it.
Right, tase it.
But they do other stuff with it as well. They'll release pulses like a bat to shock prey's muscles into moving to kind of like give it away so they can feel the vibrations through the water.
Oh, cool.
So say there's like a fish like hiding in like an anemone or like some seaweed and it's like staying really still because the eel's going by.
the eel just like releases this pulse, and the fish can't help it. Its muscles contract.
Whoa.
And it like swims out of the seaweed, and the eel's like, there you are. I found you.
See, this is why
it's
have...
It's like smoking them out.
We talked about this earlier, too. This is why I have no problem with humans hunting. Because we always say like, oh, hunting is so bad. And it's like, first of all, no, it's not. If you're hunting, if you're trophy hunting, you're a terrible person, sure.
Yeah, but if you're hunting shooting for a meat, lion just to take a picture with it.
Yeah, you're a prick. You're basically a Henry VIII.
Yeah.
But
way to Henry VIII this whole situation up.
Yeah, that's what we should say. Yeah, you just Henry'd that. But like, if you're hunting for
Henry
food,
Henry VII is like, hey, I was pretty nice. Specify which Henry.
And at which time in his life.
Yeah.
He had a real turnaround around wife number eight.
There's seven other Henrys that weren't that bad. We had one wife and kids.
Wife number six. He only had six. I said eight by accident because Henry VIII. Anyway, hunters. We're way better at like, man, you see, we watch a lion hunt or eels torturing their prey into revealing themselves. That must be the most terrifying and sad, where you can't help it but reveal your position. That's
yeah.
sad.
You're like, no, oh my God, my arm's moving.
And then like the eel is this like slinky death beast
yeah.
that like you can't see where it begins or ends, and all of a sudden you're dead. Like, that's crazy.
It just
Whereas
shocks you.
Humans are maybe not with fishing, that's pretty rough, but like on land, we're much more humane. Just a nice quick shot. You don't even know you got hunted.
Yeah, fishing's pretty bad because it's like, oh, look at this delicious snack.
We are,
oh my God.
We are bad. Yeah.
I'm attached to the thing.
But I mean, that's the thing. Any visit to the aquarium will show you just how terrible the ocean, like the ocean is basically a, what is the term? What is that movie that I just tried to reference and it just
Mad
escaped
Max.
My brain?
Death Race.
It's basically like, yeah, it's a bit of a Mad Max thing.
Death
but,
Race 2000.
But 100% more water.
Yeah.
Battle Royale, that's what I liken it to. It's just like this environment where
yeah.
everyone is suited up for war.
Well, because like there used to be.
The ocean is intensely violent.
There used to be, the ocean's been around the longest. Like, there's been life in there before land.
That's just a
right?
really, that's a funny way to put it. The ocean's been around the longest.
Life in the ocean. The ocean as a biosphere.
Yes. Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's just funny.
The ocean's been around for a pretty long time, bro.
The ocean's the first. OG.
OG. So, in the ocean, that's when, like, all of those, like, fight. That's why, like, things came to land because it got too crazy.
Totally.
Stuff was like, we can't even have kids down here.
We gotta get
it's
out of here.
Nuts.
Oh, well, going on land was absolutely an advantage because
yeah.
it's like, yeah, nothing else is up here. I'm just gonna
and
get out of the way.
Horseshoe crabs were the first ones to.
Is that real? Is that what we're?
That's
current,
one of the
our current belief is.
Yeah, I mean, they think that horseshoe crabs because they do look a lot like primitive insects, like millipedes. Millipedes are kind of one of the oldest. They think that kind of design,
right.
But horseshoe crabs.
I guess if we're talking about like animals, because like. I'm assuming plants were probably the first thing up on land.
Yeah.
What with tides kind of spreading them further and further out.
For sure. For sure. And then, you know, developing the ability to cast seeds into the wind as opposed to floating them in the water.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it builds up around the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around the shoreline.
There were ferns and such.
Then it gets better at not being murdered by the constant barrage of ultraviolet
yeah.
radiation.
Get a thick trunk.
Yeah.
Get some wood.
Oh, yeah. And then the wind, of
get
course.
Get some wood happening.
You got to get some wood happening.
But yeah, horseshoe crabs kind of rolled on up on land to lay their eggs, and that was like a very good idea, because it was like, oh yeah, well, if we'll just have our babies up here, that way all the terrible shit in the ocean
yeah.
won't eat these babies till
they're
ready.
At least they'll be born first.
Yeah, till their shells are thick enough
then
to
they come down into the fray.
The barracuda bites.
And then I'm sure at some point one of them was like, well, what if we just never went down into the fray?
Yeah.
What if we ate some of these weird wooden plants?
Yeah, why don't we stay up here? Yeah. Let's eat these horseshoe crab babies.
Oh yeah, and then something else.
Baby horseshoe crabs up here.
I think we just definitely very clearly explained evolution in a nutshell.
Yeah.
People
also,
like, why don't we just do this?
This is a thing that I know, and it's not really on my list, but it's a fun. I like to talk about it whenever possible.
Here we go.
Did you know that?
Bonus fact.
Primitively, there is a lot of evidence that there used to be underwater scorpions. That's where scorpions came from. Originally underwater.
No.
And they were 6 feet long.
No, they weren't.
Ginormous.
6 feet long scorpion. Did they still have the scorpion tail
yes,
with the thing?
Stinging tail, claws.
And the claws up front?
Yeah, because you look at a scorpion. It's very much like a crab or a lobster. It's just on
scorpions
land now.
Are among the nastiest, scariest looking things ever.
Yeah, now imagine them 6 feet long.
No, I refuse to imagine
giant
that.
Tail. rolling around, grabbing fish, no. stinging them.
No, I hate this. Eels are also terrifying.
Tearing them asunder.
No. No. What's the fish with the glowing bit on its face and it just looks like a mess?
A lanternfish?
It looks like somebody accidentally ran over a fish.
And just left
a flashlight?
A flashlight and teeth. That is all. Yeah, it's a lanternfish.
Like, everybody says, like, man, those are terrifying looking, but like, no. Scorpions. Not even tarantulas are as terrifying looking as scorpions.
I don't know. When you see their fangs, it's pretty scary.
The scorpion's fangs?
No, the tarantula fangs.
Scorpions. Oh, yeah, that's true, I guess. Yeah, I held a tarantula once at a bug zoo. The Victoria Bug Zoo. They have now become sponsors of our show.
Oh, yeah.
We'll call them and ask them for money. And I held a tarantula. And what you know what's terrifying about it is how still they are. You're not really sure if you're holding anything alive.
Yeah.
Because they're hunter spiders. They don't have, like, a web.
Yeah.
They can't just be regular old fast moving spiders. They got to be very, very still, like all day until prey comes near enough to them and then they just strike.
Yeah.
And it was that stillness that just freaked me right out. They don't have moving parts. There's no like lungs like expanding and contracting. I mean, there might be. I don't know nothing about no spiders.
There's amniotic fluids. Everything's kind of floating around in there. They don't have lungs though.
Yeah, I'm sure things need to be, you know, there's actual like a circulation of some kind, but the actual physical, like the hard structure of it.
They have
no movement.
It's more like gills. They have air gills.
It's often said that tarantulas are the goldfish of land.
Well, crabs have gills, like crabs and lobsters and stuff. And then they just.
You know what's crazy? Like maybe for another live episode, we should have like some animal experts because I have always known this to be true, and I have now revealed it to our 60-person public that I have no knowledge about animals. Or bugs and their behavior and like how they work.
I love animals. They're the best.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know why. I just never put it to my mind.
That was like my big, I love watching like David Attenborough type.
Right.
Planet Earth or Life in the Undergrowth is a really good one. It's all about bugs.
You know what?
That's kind of where I learned most of this
stuff.
Totally.
But like I love that stuff too. And I love the behaviors of animals. And especially when it comes to, you know, chimps and apes and stuff that relates to us. But when it comes down to do bugs or bees... You heard me. Do bugs or bees?
Bees are not bugs.
Do they fall asleep? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's stuff. That's really basic stuff.
Yeah.
And I just don't know it.
Yeah, do bugs sleep?
I'm sure, like, cats sleep.
Yeah, but they
actually, the real question is, do cats wake up? But, like, but if we're talking about...
No, they just materialize.
Like, spiders, are spiders ever just like, you know, like,
well, when they're sitting in the middle of that web all still, you're like, are you awake?
or is awake a thing to them? Are they like more like computer programs? I've always thought as bugs as being computer programs.
Yeah, bugs are kind of like tiny robots.
They have very specific instructions and they just do them.
They got a hard outer
shell. Yeah.
They got fluid inside.
Yeah.
They're very hydraulic. That's how spiders operate.
Yeah, they just do their thing until they're done doing their thing. Like they don't have, I don't know, like mammals seem to like fuck around more.
You heard it here first. I said it again. You heard it here first. Mammals fuck around more.
They do, though. It just seems like mammals are more aware that they're things.
Yeah.
We're like, you know what? I am for sure a leopard.
Spiders know they're things,
I wonder,
they know they're scary. That's why they like walk up to you and like hold up their front legs.
Yeah. Are you sure it's not just like a subroutine where it's like load fang program?
Yeah.
Fang that thing until it's in you and then use it to be alive longer.
Load fang program. Fang program A. Fang bigger thing than me. It's got two fang programs. One for a smaller thing.
Yeah.
Fang thing that's in web with me.
Bigger thing has torn off leg bits and probably not going to last much longer. Continue fanging until program is over. Spider program complete.
Spider has killed. Initiate rain sequence.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think it would be wonderful to have an animalologist on to tell me in that very specific way how stupid I am.
For sure. I only know that insects don't have lungs because I watched a movie, a sci-fi, about giant bugs that killed people.
Are we talking Starship Troopers at this point?
No.
I like that movie.
It's great. No, this was a movie called Mimic, and it was about these bugs that look like people until they burst out of their human skin, and like they got like mantis claws, and they find them in the subway in New York. And the big deal,
of course,
they bring in like an entomologist, who is, of course, a hot babe.
hot babe entomologist comes in. And I just remember it being like a profound thing when she's like, I don't understand how they can be so big. And then they like they kill one, and then she cuts it open, and she's like, oh my God, it's developed lungs. And I was like, wait, bugs don't have lungs? And then I Googled it. Sure enough, they do not.
And then Google was like, nope, just keep watching the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, thanks, Google.
Get back to the movie, brah.
That is like one of the silliest things about a movie's depiction of scientists. Like the male scientists seem more along the line of what actual scientists are, kind of like frazzled and funky.
Sometimes they're really handsome.
That's true. But most of the female scientists.
Like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, huh?
Yeah, true. But he definitely, but he was like crazy. He was like a little bit more hectic, and like he didn't like pay attention. He didn't put makeup on. Then you have these like babe scientists who have their, I guess they're conceivably running long trials and big expensive tests, but they still have enough time to do like 3 hours of making themselves look babely.
Yeah, babely scientists. What's wrong with that? You got a problem with babely
scientists?
I got no
problem with that. I'm just saying I don't
know
if it's...
Hey, nice shirt, Peter. This has got sexy ladies on it.
No, I'm just... okay, for the listeners at home, I do not have sexy babes on my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. He's lying. I'm just saying the depiction seems somewhat disconnected from reality.
Yeah, well, it's a movie. There's also no giant bugs.
I beg to differ, person who just told me that there was a 6-foot-long scorpion at one point in the world.
It was in the ocean. Just don't go in the ocean.
The ocean is way more terrifying than alien movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like I don't know why there aren't... Well,
giant
squids. I mean, there's a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's plenty of movies.
Apparently, I just learned that there's like this crazy octopus that lives like right off the coast of British Columbia.
Uh-oh.
And it's like this. It's like one of the biggest octopods in the world. And it's crazy huge. It's black. It's all black.
Don't
go in the ocean at night, Peter.
Oh, good Lord. I'm
the
not
ocean
going
at
any...
night is like the scariest.
I'm
That's
not
like
going
the scariest
in the ocean during
thing.
The day. I'm already maximum scared of the ocean.
Like whenever I'm on the ferry, I don't like to go outside at night because I'm like, night ocean? So scary.
Especially
There's
if
nothing scarier than wet and black.
Yeah. Well, and the depth of it all. Like there's no way you're touching anything
just
at the bottom.
The abyss.
If your foot feels anything, you're probably about to get eaten.
When I was in Hawaii, I went snorkeling in a crater of an underwater volcano. It's dormant.
It's kind
of
cool.
But it's basically like you take a boat out really far and there's an underwater volcano just off the coast and it's really tall and only a part of it is like poking out of the water and the rest is like just below the surface. So it's
cool.
This weird like island that isn't quite above the surface
right.
of the water.
Well, there's probably tons of those. Hawaii is a successful version of that.
Yeah. An archipelago, if you will.
If one wills.
So you swim around in this crater and you can see there's fish and coral and it's fun and it's all very shallow and the fish are like, oh, look at these people. They probably got food. And then you food and they all...
Oh, that's why the fish are like super nice to snorkel people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clever.
But animals. Then afterwards, there's this like little bonus. They're like, the ocean's like pretty calm today. So we're going to, instead of like, the boat normally would just like come back and pick you up like in the crater. But they were like, we'll park a little bit off the crater. You can swim out over the edge of the crater. So basically you got your mask on, you're swimming, you're looking down. The water is like, you can touch the bottom. You can touch the edge of the crater from like swimming on the surface.
Nope.
But then you swim just over the edge.
I'm out.
And it just drops like 3,000 feet down to just black.
And so like, you just feel that temperature change. Like
you feel the temperature change. You feel the abyss below you. You're like, oh my God. And then they're like, if you want to, my girlfriend at the time was very terrified to do this. She was like, I'm not. She didn't even want to swim over the edge. She was like, this is the worst. They want to get back in the
boat.
Your
best friend at the time is terrified of this.
Yeah, so
I'm referring to me.
And they were like, there's actually whales in the area. So if you go down deep enough, you can hear them. So what you do is you like dive down and then you plug your nose and like basically clear your ears. Like you equalize the pressure by like plugging your nose and just like trying to breathe out of it.
Yeah,
your ears pop. And so once you've equalized the pressure in your ears to the water around you, you can hear whales singing like really far away from down that, as long as you're down deep enough.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful?
It was great.
Wow.
It was like one of those like ocean movies where it's like you hear the whale song. Except in all of those, the camera's underwater and it's like us surrounded by blue. It was black as the depths of hell. You're just in the darkness.
Oh my God.
Hearing these whales.
No.
So it's kind of scary still.
I just think we are so clearly, if there are many different, what's the term, biomes on the planet.
Yeah.
You got your snow levels, you got your desert levels, you got your jungle levels, and you got your ocean tile.
Yeah.
It has never been more clear that we were not suited for a biome. Like, the ocean is just like, guys, get out immediately.
Yeah, this is not for you.
Even on a ship, it's just like thrashing us about, and there's those mythical like rogue waves, and it's just like, I don't even think are mythical. It's just like massive waves. And it's just like,
you can't even tell where you're facing. Your boat
is not meant for humans.
Your boat is listicling.
Full of listicles.
Because if you think back to like the, you know, pre ocean liner era, the ocean was a lot like space, I imagine. It's like, we can't go out there.
Well, the first explorers are right. Well, not the first, technically. But, like, you know, sail the ocean blue. Most of them died. Most of them didn't just make it across the ocean to America. And we're like, finally, we made it. They were like half the people they used to be.
Yeah, or like new people were born.
The Louis C.K. thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was space.
Yeah.
Maybe, space is
Is why it kind of gives us the confidence
to go into space.
Well, if we can conquer the ocean, we can conquer space. No, we can't, you idiots.
No. You know what, though?
This is so much harder.
The thing with space is, it's just like, space is like a patience game, where it's like, you can go there if you want. It's going to take like a gazillion years to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Or like 4 months to get to Mars.
But even at the time of the ocean liner, we were like, we don't know how long it's going to take.
That's true.
It would sometimes take like a year to cross the ocean.
It was so crazy that we also did it anyway. That's something that we're missing. We used to
space?
Be, well, just the exploration, like the ramp, like unquenchable exploration. People were like, I'm probably going to die for sure, but I can't not do it. I have to go into the ocean and just point in a direction and then sail.
Yeah, I don't think they were doing it of their own volition. They were members of the Queen's Navy, and the Queen was like, I'm curious about what's over there. You, sir. Yes. Do you have a family? Yes, I do. Well, forget about them. You're sailing off until you can't sail anymore.
And then that person the whole time is like, I can't believe the queen herself has come down to tell me this.
Yeah.
Usually it's just a decree.
Yes. No, I'm telling you into your face, go
so
die.
Wait, are you telling me that you think all the explorers of the time in the exploration age were just not into it?
Yeah, they're always heralded as like these, you know, unquenchable taste for adventure.
For the adventure.
But
I think they were.
You don't think so? No, because they were like trying to find new trade routes. It was a big economical thing. They were like, get out there and find people that'll buy this.
You know what? I guess that is true. The thing that drove exploration was riches. Was like the promise that you'd figure out something and you'd get it would get you rich.
The king. Did you know that the king actually decreed that all of the trees within, I think, like 50 miles of the ocean belonged to him in North America?
Nice.
Like, these are the king's lumber. Like, you can't do that. You're on the other side of the planet.
That's
like,
so funny.
This is all my lumber.
But I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen with the first people on Mars, where they're like, you can't do that anymore. And then the people on Mars will be like,
they'll still have that accent.
And it'll still be the king of England. It'll be a king
it'll
by
be Henry
point.
VIII. He's being a real dick.
Ah, what an entitled prick. You don't own Mars.
I can't even have babies on Mars. There's something wrong with these women.
There's something wrong with the Martian women. Kill them all. Oh, man.
I hope there's babes on Mars.
You know what? If they said there was babes or gold or oil on Mars, I'm sure maybe we would be more ravenous with our exploration.
Yeah.
That's why everyone's like, if the moon landing actually happened, then why haven't we been back? And it's like, first of all, it did happen. Second of all, there was nothing there. It sucked.
Yeah.
That's why we haven't been back.
Hey, if that party never happened, if that party actually happened, how come you're not friends with Dave anymore?
Yeah.
Because Dave's party sucked.
Yeah, I went there and I don't want to go back.
There was not. He didn't even have any snacks.
I think the other problem with Mars is like once we
dust.
Finally.
He served us bowls of dust.
I brought a rock back from it.
Yeah, I brought some dust.
You can look at it.
What do you think? It's just dust.
I know. That's why I'm not going back. Well, that's going to happen with Mars too. We're going to get people out there, and then people are going to just be bored. They'll be like, "Yeah, we'll run experiments on how plants grow on Mars, but that's it.
Yeah,
nothing else to do except for stay alive."
Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll have like an internet connection.
Oh, there isn't. Yeah, there will be, but
there'll be a feed to Earth, right?
Like that's. I mean, we're getting. You know what's cool about modern day? Like
now,
we are getting. we are getting photos same day from Mars, from the Mars rover.
Wow!
It is sending photos and we're getting them in the same day.
Using like UPS?
Yeah, it's usually like a UPS-based Twitter thing. It's
overnight
like,
delivery?
Basically just open a Twitter account. Twitter's very, very aggressive about getting signals places.
Yeah, the Mars rover.
Yeah.
Well, that's like that probe that's on the comet.
Oh, so cool.
It shut down, though. It landed in a shadow. And it's
didn't
like,
it do... It did some work, though, didn't it? It got a bit of its work done.
I think they achieved 80% of
is
their
it Cassini?
Science
is that
goals.
Her name?
The probe?
Yeah.
Probe is a lady?
Was it Cassini?
Cassini?
No, I'm just being sexist, I guess. I know. This episode has been a very bad episode for me and sexism.
That's okay, Peter.
But let me explain.
I know
you
love
myself.
Them girls.
I love them girls. But I was pointing out existing conditions in our system. I wasn't saying that that's how I want it to be. I think people know that. You're editing this out, aren't you?
No, I'm just hanging you out to dry.
You did hang me out to dry. You really hung me out, and I'm really, really dry.
I'll edit this a lot.
Except for that part.
Yeah. Also, much like most of these listicles, it is going to conclude without actually having the number of things in the list that I said at the beginning.
What did you say? You said.
I think I said eight.
You said eight at one point. You said nine, and then I think we started with seven.
And I think we're arriving at six because three was kind of three and four combined. So there you go, everybody. Six fun facts. And you didn't know were fun facts.
My conclusion is, yay, science. Also, what are animals?
And much like any of these other articles, we are now going to seamlessly switch into an ad for a new type of energy juice. You think it's still part of the article.
Oh, yeah.
You think you're reading a thing, and you're like, is there more on the next page? This is why you're getting old, because you haven't bought this
Absolutely.
Juice.
Or native advertising. So, like, item number nine on the list is juice is great.
Yeah.
This is not an animal fact. Yeah. You know animals like juice? There, now it's an animal fact.
Monkeys drink this juice, and they turned into the president.
Ladies and gents, I guess, thanks for joining in.
So if you like this format, let us know, because we might do stuff. If you have animal facts you'd like to send us, please do that. I always enjoy animal facts.
Yeah.
Peter knows nothing, so,
and so
he
basically,
could use them.
Yeah, every
he could
animal
really
fact
use the animal
you send
facts.
Me is a new fact I know.
And that concludes this episode of Sciences. Everybody, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next week.